Call the meeting of the Public Tree Advisory Commission to order, and we will start with call of the roll.
I believe we have the Pledge of Allegiance first.
Oh, okay. We'll do the pledge first.
I allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, now call roll.
Commissioner Rajabanshi?
Here.
Commissioner Mansur?
Here.
Commissioner Kirby is absent. Commissioner Alstadt?
Here.
Acting Chair Massey?
Here. All righty. And public forum, it doesn't look, do we have any public
forum? There are no speaker slips for public forum.
All right. Any amendments or adjustments to the agenda? All righty. We will move on to presentations and oath of office.
Item A1, oath of office, Jessica Altstadt and Ruby Rajabanshi, Public Tree Advisory Commissioners.
If I can have you both come up.
If I can have you raise your right hand. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and or domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California, that I will take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter. Thank you. Over here and sign. So Jessica, you'll sign right there. Ruby, right there.
I didn't bring my pens.
Congratulations. I hope you read that because the last time I signed something like that, I spent 4 years in the Navy.
All right, we'll move on to consent calendar.
Item B1, approval of the Public Tree Advisory Commission meeting minutes of January 26, 2017.
And I have one correction to the minutes. It's on big, well, maybe there's nothing but page 7, but down near the bottom, I guess a more than a third down, you will see after page 49, it says page 90. That should be page 49 also. It's an easy thing to do, but I figure we might as well be accurate. I did, believe it or not, go through and check every one of these to make sure they're accurate.
Thank you.
Some people do the dumbest things, but I figure it's important. All right, do I have a motion to approve?
I move to approve with corrections.
I guess I have to second it.
Yeah,
because because...
You don't have to dissolve this.
We weren't here, so is that okay?
That's the problem. Well, Phoebe made the motion, so I have to second. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved. And we move on to Public Tree Advisory Commission organization.
Item C1, selection of the chair and vice chair.
I'd like to move to appoint Commissioner Massey as the chair.
We have...
I will second that.
Oh, no other volunteers? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'll abstain. Okay, I guess you're stuck with me, at least for a while. And then we move to vice chair. Would you like to?
I would like to. Can we nominate someone who's not present?
I believe so.
I'd like to nominate Lynn Kirby as vice chair.
Any other nominations? Do we have a second?
I second.
All those in favor? Aye.
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 Okay. That's Lynn for vice chair. Okay. We move on to discussion and action item.
Item D1, Magnolia Sidewalk Infill Project Tree Recommendation.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is James Winslow. I'm in the Public Works Engineering Department Capital Improvement Program. And today we're here to discuss the Magnolia Avenue sidewalk infill project, specifically the tree selections. As you know, may or may not know, we have a capital improvement program project on Magnolia Avenue, south of Hollister, between Hollister and Gaviota Street. We're replacing curb, gutter, and sidewalk, or adding curb, gutter, and sidewalk where there is missing sidewalk at this point. And broken sidewalk in other places. Part of the reason why we are doing this project is community raised concerns about the condition of the sidewalk in that area, the lack of sidewalk. It was initially going to be just replacing the sidewalk infill on the east side. However, we expanded it to be both sides between Hollister and Gaviota due to cost effectiveness and additional damage to the sidewalk that's there for safety reasons. It's going to replace the curb gutter as well as the driveway aprons and the access ramps on the corners at the ends of the project, so all four access ramps to make them ADA compliant. The existing conditions that are out there, these four images show, again, sidewalk that is is elevated due to trees and other drainage features. We have narrow driveways that also have lips on them. We have head-in parking without and sidewalk that there's no ADA path of travel for anyone getting around the corner there. And you can see same thing here where there is no sidewalk or curb gutter and parking in that area. So currently this project is been approved by council with the caveat that we come back to PTAC for your recommendation for tree replacement. We do have a tree replacement that was selected off the list. We received feedback from the community that they would like different trees selected that are not on the approved list. And so we're here for that conversation. Once we get the tree selection recommendation from PTAC, we will continue with advertising the project, bring it back to council with the recommendation for the contractor for construction, and then construct the project. So, trees. Currently out there, we have existing conditions. There are the standard Magnolia grandiflora, the standard Magnolia trees. And we did look at different options, and we have some recommendations we'd like for you to weigh in on. Existing conditions. In addition to the lack of sidewalks, you can see that we have trees that have elevated the sidewalk. We've been putting in asphalt and also Bob Screws have been getting rid of the edges of the concrete to remove any ADA tripping hazards. The trees has also gone, the roots have gone into public property, or private property, sorry, from public property and elevated parking lots. Additionally, we have trees, they're encroaching into the Edison power lines, and so they will need to be trimmed in the future to minimize any impact on those power lines. And so the plan before you is we have arborists in the field, Mr. Robert Marocca with AgriTurf. He's our city contract arborist, and he did an evaluation of all the trees that are out there. And based on the trees, their size, their condition, the recommendation is to remove three of the trees, two on the north side at the south southern end towards Gaviota Street, and one on the north southwest, and one on the western side. So there's currently the four trees out there. We'd be replacing those three trees that we've been removing with five trees. And so the discussion today is what five trees to put back in, what types. The plans currently call for the Australian willow. However, we brought to council recommendations for some dwarf varieties for magnolia trees. And some of the varieties would be the Little Gem, the San Marano, the St. Mary, and the Victoria. And I can walk through those with you right now. Here's a picture of the Australian willow, which is currently in the plans. The height of maturity is 30 feet and a 20-foot diameter. It is in the approved street tree list for a 4-foot sidewalk or 4-foot parkway, which is what we would have in this area. Another option we threw out there was the bronze loquat, which is also on the approved tree list. But council was in favor of the dwarf magnolia varieties. And so these are the four I'd like to focus on at this point. This is the Little Gem. The picture being shown there is from the Cal Poly Urban Forest Ecosystems Institute source. Its height of maturity of about 20 feet. And 10-foot diameter in size, so it would fit really well in this application. And it is a magnolia tree. We'd be replacing the magnolias we'd be taking out. A second option is the St. Mary. Again, a 20 to 25-foot maturity with a diameter of 15 to 20 feet. Again, these are prime conditions, and our Mr. Marocca would tell us that the street tree conditions are not ideal to reaching maturity, which is why even the grandiflora that are out there can reach an 80-foot height. They don't typically reach that. And so we wouldn't necessarily see these at 25, 30 feet on any of them. So they'd be still good applications for around the electrical wires. We don't have a picture of the San Marino, but I do have a picture of the Victoria, same thing. It's a 20-foot height with a 15-foot diameter. Those are the four kind of dwarf varieties that we came up with in conjunction, again, with our contract arborist. These are the ones we took to council and with a recommendation, and the direction was to come back to PTAC for your buy-in and direction on which trees to select. And so the options I think we have before us are the Little Gem, the St. Mary, the San Marino, and the Victoria. Again, the Australian willow is currently in the plans and specs. We're happy to change that out based on your recommendations. And the bronze loquat was another option because it's in the approved list, but again, it was not favorable by council. So I'd like to focus, if we can, on the magnolia varietals. And we do have our Mr. Marocca here. If you have any questions directed at him. And then just to finish up, the next steps would be, again, we'd advertise the project, open the bids in July, the contract in, and construction would happen in the fall at this point. So I'm happy to take questions.
Do any of your commissioners have questions?
I have a question. You said that, is that okay?
Sure.
Okay.
You said the three trees were going to be removed, but I only see two on the map. Where's the third? Oh, sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry. I should have said Commissioner Alstadt.
I'm Commissioner Alstadt. Thank you. I'll learn. New on the job.
Thank you, Commissioner Alstadt. Yeah, I did. Let me point them out on the plan here. So currently there are four trees existing. We have the blue on the southwest corner. Another blue indicated here is two. The third tree that we'd be removing is right here. There's a blue call-out number 8 on the plan sheet that you'd be looking at. And then that's what we'd also be replacing in the exact same location. And so we'd have the three trees we'd be removing, and then we'd be putting in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 trees. This is the tree that we'd keep.
And is that the one in front of the Goodland Kitchen that stays?
Yes, this is the Goodland Kitchen location right here. This is Larry's Auto Parts, and so this is the one that's staying, correct?
So just a related question. So if you plant a tree in front of Larry's there, does that mean all their parking goes away?
Their parking is going away anyway. We have, if you look at the plan sheet, we're putting in curb and gutter and sidewalk, so it's going from head-in parking to parallel parking at this point. We've been in touch with Phil, as well as the owner of the property. And one of the reasons, if I can go back, that we did point out is this picture at the bottom left corner. You can see the sidewalk comes, from Hollister around the corner and then dead ends. There's no path of travel for pedestrians down through there. That's something that we need to correct and improve the path of travel. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Commissioner Rajbanshi?
Thank you.
Rajbanshi.
Yes, correct. So I guess based on the plan, then the pre-existing conditions had 4 trees, and then post-plan, you'll have 6 trees.
Correct, Commissioner Rajbanshi.
And is there a predetermined ratio in terms of, if you remove one tree, you put in 1.5 trees, or...?
No, there's not a predetermined ratio for capital improvement program projects in this. We try to maximize the number of trees that we can put in based on conditions, and I'd like Director Gaglione to address that more.
If we weren't speaking of street trees and we were talking about an oak tree or some other things, then you get into replacement for mitigation, but these are ornamental trees that were planted in the road right-of-way. And so, no, we don't have a replacement ratio. And we don't have a policy to replace. Because one of the things to remember is we don't want to put a tree somewhere that it won't do well. There's a lot of them that have been in for a while, not doing well in certain places. But we want to make sure that we put them in a place where they'll do well.
Right. I guess I'm trying to understand, what are the factors in terms of selecting the trees? Are you looking at, the amount of shade that the group of pre-existing trees provided? Are you looking at the type of tree, replacing magnolias with magnolias, or is it just kind of a combination of?
Yeah, that was mainly, we had a complaint from one business owner and property owner there along that roadway that it's magnolia, it's not willow. We would like to keep the magnolias. And the magnolia, the regular magnolia, is just too large, and we see what it does with the sidewalk and everything, so it was, how can we how can we go ahead and retain that feel that it's magnolias and have something that really fits better? Because eventually, things just get hacked by Edison to keeping things out of the wires, and the roots really don't have enough good room to grow in. So this time, this was all about replacing it with something that would be a magnolia.
Okay, thank you.
So if I understand correctly, would that not the normal procedure be that the tree issue would have come first to PTAC as opposed to the council?
Commissioner Manser, we took trees off the street tree list, and it was in part it was part of the process of design and bringing things to the council that we ended up with the complaint about taking the trees out. And so what we wanted to do was get the okay to go out to bid with council, and then still be able to come to PTAC and get some direction on that, and then we could just do a change order for the willow trees and have them put in. So it was really in the interest of time to move ahead with the council, get the actions that we needed from them to go forward, pending, you know, your direction here.
Thank you, I see. Now, I do have a question. I noticed on the back end of the street, there are many trees.
You're talking south of Gaviota? On the
next block down.
Yeah, the ficus trees farther south on Magnolia.
Yes, on
Magnolia.
The same street?
Correct.
None of those are Magnolia trees. Is that the issue that... Okay, so the only Magnolia trees are in this short block that we're talking about, which is raises the concern to have at least one Magnolia tree on Magnolia Street.
There's actually Magnolias north of Hollister on Magnolia, big ones.
Okay, but not but across on this section. Yeah. Okay, I got it. Thank you.
All right, I have a comment to make in regard to this, because we've had experience at the Homeowners Association where I live. Somebody wanted Magnolia when something else was coming out, and we looked at the various ones, and the only one that seemed a good match was the Little Gem. So approximately 4 to 5 years ago, I can't remember the exact date, but I think about 7 were planted in various locations throughout the complex. And I made a special point on the weekend to go around and look at all of them. You know, you get so used to trees being there that you don't pay that much attention. And I didn't think much of them in the beginning, but they all look very good, considering that they were put in about the beginning of the drought. They didn't have any, let's just say we don't have the best watering system for everything. And so they haven't been given ample water, I know. And they all look good. And in fact, there's one right as you come in the entrance on the right left-hand side that I was looking at today. And it's really pretty. I mean, I love magnolias because I lived growing up with magnolias in the parking strip beside my house. So they're a pain in the with all the pods and the leaves, but they're beautiful. And the Little Gem does have nice flowers, and they don't seem, interestingly enough, to drop as much as the regular magnolia. Maybe they do, and I just don't see them, but I was impressed with them. And, you know, I just figured having an experience with something, it doesn't seem to be a problem with, you know, roots or anything like that, because I can look at all of that and there isn't a problem. I know it must be 4 years. It could even be longer. And so I just thought I would add my experience with it.
That's good to know.
And if I can jump in, Chair Massey, we do have a commitment from a local property owner, Mr. John Price, to water the trees down there so that there is a sustained commitment to making sure these trees, when they're put in, stay viable and healthy, particularly in that incubation period, the first couple of years, maybe the first year of growth. So,
well, they should do fabulous then, because if they get good start particularly, then they will do well. If we have another 5 to 20 year drought, God knows what we'll have next. But and John is somebody we can trust who will water him. I'll beat him up if he doesn't.
What is the root structure like?
The root structure, would you like to address that? Yeah. Thank you, Robert.
Good afternoon. My name is Robert Murok. I'd like to actually make a couple other comments that I heard. Well, if you bring the pictures up of the trees.
Sure.
So the magnolias, I think you had St. Mary's okay, so that's the Little Gem, St. Mary's. Go back. So one of the comments I heard initially on the as far as the negative side of Little Gem was that this thing is too bushy and too messy. And what's true with with most trees, whether it's Geigera or loquat or bottle brush, or you could pretty much name the tree, they start off as bushes. So what we see are trees that are trained into what we consider a standard form or a single trunk tree. So if left to its own, this is the initial form of the tree, right? But as time goes by, if that's in cities where you have standards as far as limb height and that type of thing, there's pruning that goes on over time that eventually you get this traditional shape that you would be considering what is a normal tree, which in effect is actually an abnormal tree in a lot of cases, right? The other thing about mess, and council brought this up also, I disagree, but he said, you know, those are really messy trees. And the fact is, all trees are messy. I mean, all trees have leaves or needles or whatever the case may be. They all drop. Most have some type of fruiting mechanism to reproduce that drops. Now, some are messier than others. So if you lived on Mission Street in Santa Barbara that's lined with jacaranda trees, you would have the flower drop this time of year. You would have the foliage drop, which it's a pinnately compound leaf, which means it's a really tiny little leaf, really hard to pick up. Or you could have something like magnolia, which is going to drop its leaves too. There's no doubt about that. It's going to drop flowers also and pods eventually if it fruits. But those are pretty easy to pick up. It's a big, waxy leaf. So in design practices, we typically use those in hardscapes by pools and things like that where you don't want a messy plant, given the fact that it is going to drop foliage, right? So that's going to be unavoidable unless we go to maybe bristlecone pines that live for 5,000 years. I think the needles on those live for maybe 30 years or 40 years. You could Google that, but it's on that order. The other thing that you had mentioned about why do we put these trees in, or what is the purpose, or how do we go about selecting? Of course, it's for things like shade. There's just so many reasons why you would want as many trees as possible. Now, the problem when you put it in urban landscapes or amongst hardscape like this is the limitation is really size. Now, on this very same block, there's a perfect example because the other commissioner was talking about the ficus trees, which are a block down. Those trees are 80 to 90, 100 feet tall. They're beyond the scope of that block. In my opinion, they're no longer fit the landscape, right? So, but that size of a tree does a much better job of shading. So those buildings there have the value of those trees, protecting them from this. Little Jim is not going to shade people that are, you know, parked in front of Larry's or anything like that. It's really going to be more of an ornamental tree because even at its maximum height of 20 feet, there's not a lot of shade there. So we look at the aesthetics, right? The other thing is when you have a narrow parking strip like that, parkway of 4 feet, we're concerned about what he showed you on the slides there is how it affects the hardscape. So there's a good way to look at this is the eventual size of the tree. So if it's the ficus tree that's a block away, if it has a potential of 80 feet tall, that means it's going to have roots that would support an 80-foot tree. That means it's a lot of lumber below ground, right, that has to move out structurally just to hold that thing up. And in doing so, as soon as it makes contact with concrete or asphalt or utilities, that's going to give. The concrete will give before the root gives, right? So if you have a tree that's, say, 20 feet or under, now you're talking about much smaller roots that are needed to support that same tree. So over time, so if we look into the future, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, well, the likelihood of damage being caused by those is much, much less because it's a much smaller tree. And as Vice Chair Massey just said, she has been looking at this one tree for 4 years or 5 years, and it was planted during the drought, and they don't have the best watering practices. Well, you know, if it's not watered, if it's not cared for, they just sit there. They become really stunted. And if you have a dwarf tree or a slow-growing tree in the first place, it even grows slower. So, you know, that there's going to be, that's a big deal as far as how fast or how healthy the tree is going to be. It's really the aftercare. And we assume, now maybe not in this case, but we assume that the care is going to be poor. Or I shouldn't say we. I assume that the care is going to be poor because who is around to care for it? So I stood up here originally to answer the question about the size of the root system. I generally tell people that it's more or less a reflection of what you see above. If it has, you know, 80 foot by 50 foot canopy, it has to have something similar that to that in order to support it, because it needs a balance between, we call it this root to shoot ratio, right? Where you have so much on top, somewhere below ground is an equal amount, and that's what's there to support, you know, needed to support the tree. So smaller tree, smaller root system.
I have a question.
Sure.
So speaking of, and I apologize if this is getting a little bit off topic, but speaking of those ficus trees,
yeah.
Is there potential then in the future that that will cause the same type of infrastructure damage and they'll have to be removed as well and replaced?
Yeah, they already have, right? And then isn't that the block where we lost a main scaffold branch on one of those?
Yeah, Public Works Manager Bob Morgenstern. Yeah, we had a tree split out there, but there's a big community desire to keep those ficus out there. So we do have them topped and supported regularly.
They have been recently. What I would say, my own opinion, is that when those trees come down, I would replace them with the same, you know, the same whatever magnolias, and it completely changes what that block would end up looking like. But, you know, everything comes to an end at some point, you know, and those are the biggest ficus I've ever measured.
But are there alternatives in terms of extending the sidewalk or, I mean, I guess that would shorten the parkway to some extent.
Yes. Rosemarie Gagliani, Public Works Director. Yeah, now you start to get into the roadway, and you do two things. You create a hazard, and you know, you've got to make sure drivers don't then run into that curb. Eventually, you will have utility damage that you're not going to be able to prevent. There are utilities in the road, and if the tree grows, the roots grow unchecked, they'll get into things and damage things. The other thing is drainage. It's bad enough. When you bulb something out, now you've got to account for how are you going to still get the water through that so you don't end up with a big puddle of water, because it doesn't go right around corners real well. It wants to puddle up. So there are a lot of things that, no, we wouldn't. And especially as Robert is saying, nearing the end of their lives, you know, this is, you're going to make changes in a roadway for how long, and they're still going to come out. So it's always hard. When you have an old growth tree, nobody wants to see it come down. But we did. We had a very large branch that went down on a building back a year or two ago. So, I mean, eventually they start to come down on their own. They lose that beauty. They need to go. And all we can really do is, I mean, get the input from the community on replacements, you know, so that that they feel heard and they can feel a little better when they drive down the street.
Thank you.
Commissioner Alstadt?
Hi, Commissioner Alstadt again. I do have a question regarding the canopy shape and size of the new trees and the trimming. You mentioned required heights for branches. And I just drove down Magnolia to look at those trees, and their canopy is actually like really high up in the air. I mean, the passerby is not encountering any branches. So my question is, when these new trees, if we go with the little gem or something like that, how high off the ground is their canopy going to be, and what is the actual minimum requirement height for that?
Yeah, the trees themselves would look like a bush initially. I mean, they just don't have that. It's a slow-growing tree, and it's a small tree. So generally, when you find one, and I think they've spec'd 15-gallon trees or 24-inch, something, it's not it looks like we call them whips, just a little whip, right? It doesn't have a broad canopy. So even as a mature tree, may not impact the street the way you would with a typical Magnolia grandiflora. It's a more columnar shaped tree as far as, instead of a broad spreading tree. So it may never actually impact the road. Part of this is, in the past, a lot of very large trees were used for street trees in smaller areas. The ficus would be an example. There's a lot of examples of that. And so you have Annapamus tree would be probably the best one, because that's the stone, you know, yeah. The stone pine's going down there. And it, of course, creates a huge canopy, a tunnel. But there's also problems with that size. So what you give up in size, you know, you end up having an easier time with infrastructure. It doesn't create the same type of canopy that that the large trees do. But then again, the area does not accommodate a tree that's big, that's that size. You know, an interesting thing is on the side, but if you hike up in that, I like to hike up in our foothills, right? And so when you look down, if you look down at Montecito, of course, they're big properties, lots of big trees, you see nothing but green. So that's the real urban canopy, right? Then as you go look towards Santa Barbara, you see a lot of red tile, especially down. Well, why? Because it's more developed and the trees aren't as big and so on. So I mean, it's a striking thing to see, you know, from above. I'm not a pilot, but if I was, you would see that same type of thing. Well, if you had a complete canopy, there's a lot of benefits to that. But the size of the planters just don't accommodate that. So it won't look that, it won't be, I think, what you're thinking, this.
Well, no, I'm just thinking about, I hadn't realized there was a minimum branch that you have to trim them to a certain thing. And that, right. When I just drove down Magnolia, I mean, those trees are basically, it's like a telephone pole with a bunch of canopy.
It's clearance
up on the top,
right, for trucks.
But when you have a much smaller tree, what is it going to be trimmed to? And is it going to have enough canopy then above whatever you have to trim it to actually make it?
Yeah,
it's
a different
shade or
it's
anything.
A different shape. So okay. The canopy that you saw, that spread, there's you know, this pyramidal shape of a lot of conifers. There's columnar shapes like poplars would be an example of that. This type of magnolia is more columnar. The other two or three varieties are more spreading varieties. But over time is how that ends up being limbed up. There's a point where a branch may interfere with the sidewalk, or it may interfere with the road, and that branch may be taken off. But the deal with branches, and it's kind of like the you know, the old cartoons where the boy carves the heart, you know, in the tree. It's or girl, whatever you want, whoever. It's at that place forevermore, right? Because the trunk never goes this way, only goes this way, right? So when we look at that initial branch, that's why I had him point out that on that slide, those were untrimmed trees. So the initial branches were at knee height. Those would be the what we call the scaffold limbs, what kind of hold up all the other. Those end up coming off over time. You know, so it's a slow process as needed. And I don't know, how often is it that the city goes through, it's section by section, right, that we go through and trim the trees, but it's not that often, what, 4 years or 5 years or something like that?
Madam Chairman, if I may. Yeah. Yes, we have grid pruning that goes on. We usually do two districts. We have five districts. We try to do two districts a year, so every 2 to 2.5 years we generally grid prune every one of our trees, and that would probably answer Commissioner Alstead's question. Why do we grid prune? We grid prune to maintain trees with a canopy over sidewalks and or roadways to 10 feet over sidewalk, 14 feet over roadways, which gives us clearance for trash trucks, street sweepers, things of that nature, delivery trucks. So
then with a tree that only gets to be 20 feet tall under optimum conditions, and you have to cut it to 14 feet, over the road. I mean, what are we going to be left? I just want to make sure we're left with something after it's trimmed.
I don't think it ends up looking that way because the shape of the tree is like this. Yeah. So those branches that you would be worried about in terms of clearance may never actually be there. So if you have a broad, like we have a lot of evergreen elms in the city of Goleta, which is a broad umbrella-shaped tree, but everyone that you see in town or as a street tree has a perverted shape. And so it still has this type of canopy, but what you're saying is exactly true. There's a balance ideally between the trunk height and the first scaffold limb, right? And in terms of percentages of the overall tree. And very few actually meet that standard because they're street trees.
So is it your opinion that these are more suited as street trees than the existing?
Yeah, I'm the one that recommended those.
So I just wanted to be sure on that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, the idea there was magnolias get too big.
Yeah.
And true, magnolias get too big. But there are a lot of varieties of magnolias. So it's not like you're limited to Magnolia grandiflora. You know, that was, you know, off the top of my head, I could probably name 10 or 12. So, you know, you can pick and choose. And this happened as a part of how landscapes developed over time when lot sizes were large. Pick any tree you want, you know, because you had the river down, you know, at the end of the 40 acres, you could put a willow tree. But in urban landscapes, there really was a need and desire for smaller trees. And so that's why we have so many shrubs that are actually trained into trees. I had mentioned bottlebrush, which typically is a shrub, or myoporum, or xylosma. There's a lot of large shrubs that are actually trained into this tree shape. Because if you have a home with a 25 by 30 foot backyard, you can't put an 80 foot tree. So, you know, the growers, the hybridizers, the select, you know, they start choosing and selecting and hybridizing for trees that people have a romantic desire for, like magnolia. I mean, come on, it's a magnolia. But doesn't come with the baggage of being an 80 foot tree over time. So you get these cute little designer trees.
I have a question for Mr. Morgenstern, please.
Commissioner Manfred.
I would like to know, what is the utility height?
You talk about utility lines?
What are the, yes, what is the height of the utility line?
They vary depending on situation, but usually the very upper lines are Edison, the lower ones are communication lines, and they're usually no less than 20 feet.
Okay, so 20 feet, is that right?
Correct, usually.
And what's the average clearance height for a tree?
It's 10 feet above sidewalk, 14 feet above asphalt.
I have
Commissioner Rajbanshi.
Thank you. I have another question. So in looking at these photos of the gem or whatever, the, I guess, dwarf magnolia trees, is there a difference between, you know, maybe the little gem seems like it has more clearance versus the St. Mary, which looks more like a bush? Is that really how it is? Or
no,
is that
that's
just
exactly
how the pictures are?
Yeah, I knew that would come up, and that's why when I came up here, I wanted to stress that you're looking at the picture of an individual tree, one tree. Now, every St. Mary's or every little gem, they're genetically identical, but they could be trained differently, right? So you, so in that particular tree, it was allowed to grow as it would naturally, the Saint Mary's and the Victoria. And that's because it was in an area that had some wide open space. You look at that little gem, that is as a street tree. It's in the parkway. It's next to a road and it has a sidewalk. which means that that tree has to be trained up eventually into this standard type of form, right? Where the other ones, I couldn't see everything around it, but I would venture to guess that those, yeah, okay, I can see everything around it, but there's nothing to that would force some type of landscape manager here to train that tree. But let's say that that was our street tree, this one here. You could go up higher with the green. Okay, so right in that area, if we cut off everything below that, now you have, you know, we have that other tree again. This variety, there is a difference in leaf size. So Little Gem has the smallest leaf of those. So the other varieties, the leaf size is similar to regular Magnolia grandiflora. Little Gem happens to be more compact and more columnar in shape. Maybe you could even say more dense. I guess that would be, we could debate that one. But in the general size, I think any of those are fine. And what I was mentioning to James is, from a practical standpoint, as somebody that did a lot of this type of design work, we would try to ask for options. And so when he asked me the question in the first place, I said, here's four varieties that I think would be suitable. And the reason is that not everything is available. So when we're locked down with specifications, right? So on the plant itself, if you say Geigera parviflora, that it's got to be that. It cannot be anything else. And so if it's a tree that's super common, that's not hard to find. But if there are trees that are not so common, then it becomes a little trickier to find them. And so if you have options, you can say, okay, spec out these three. If any of these fit, or these four, if these fit, they're all suitable. They fit our needs, and go with it.
Okay, so basically, you're saying they're all the same shape. If we were to allow them to grow naturally, but you can shape them into.
Okay, they're actually a little different in shape. The other varieties of magnolias are a little broader. In the head form than Little Gem, but they're close enough for our needs in terms of height, speed, and all that type of thing. And by the way, so is bronze loquat, so is Australian willow, so is a lot of other plants. I mean, there's a lot that you could pick from. Now, we're limited by the accepted plant list that we have here. So the choices aren't as broad because you're limited by a fixed list. That's actually why we're here, is because we're thinking, oh, maybe the public wanted to go off list here. So just to give you the information and then you run with it.
Right. Thank you.
Other commissioners have questions? Commissioner Allstadt?
So why was the bronze loquat off our list?
No, that's on the list.
Oh, I thought I heard someone say earlier.
I think the city council.
I'll take that one. Oh, yeah. Okay. So we did bring that as an option to council. You know, again, the Australian willow was the one we selected off the list. We brought that in the plans. We came back with a recommendation of a bronze loquat, which is on the list, as well as the four magnolia varietals, which are not on the list. And council, in conjunction with the person from the community, did not like the option of bronze loquat when there are varietal options for magnolias. So they were strongly encouraging us to come back to PTAC with the options for magnolias and have you weigh in on that.
The other part of that, James, if I remember correctly, was the statement was, look at bronze loquat is the tree that looks most like magnolia. And in fact, that's what you said to me. You said, look at, we have bronze loquat. That's the one that looks most like magnolia. And I said, it doesn't look like magnolia. It has a big leaf like a magnolia, but it doesn't look like magnolia. If you want to use magnolia, use magnolia. And that's, I think, when they said, oh, no, we don't. But that's what I remember.
Well, the person from the community recommended bronze loquat because they thought it looked like magnolia.
And
that's what we had the conversation. Yes, yeah, so but council was not in favor of that, I don't think.
One of the magnolias, though, is on the tree list, the little gem magnolia, but it's on the list as a not recommended magnolia. So, and then the other ones are not listed at all.
It was not recommended because it said bushy and messy, I think, were the comments. Is that correct? Bushy, yes. And messy. So when I first stepped up here, I wanted to make sure that you were clear on the bushy part and on the messy part, you know, so that you had an understanding. That's, you know, I don't know whose opinion that was, that it's a bushy, messy tree. Okay, well, so is everything else, right? So where do we go from there?
But I guess my question is more procedural. Does that mean that if it is selected, it'll eventually get on the tree list as a potential tree?
If I might, Rosemary Gaglione, Public Works Director, the PTAC can amend the tree list whenever, you know, if you want to do that. And so there is just this teeny, I'm not like Robert, I don't know all that, but I mean, it's like that many trees on the tree list if you look at, and in the future, you know, some of the changes in climate may want to be taken into account when picking trees. And so the list is something that can be revisited.
Mm-hmm. So if they were to get on the list, does that mean in the future you wouldn't necessarily have to come to PTAC if you wanted to select those trees?
That is correct. Once a tree is on the list, then we would not need to come back to you. And then Bob just corrected me. So you would recommend to council a revised street tree list, and then they would formally approve it. But yeah, whenever PTAC, you know, wants to begin looking, if you want to begin looking at the list to recommend some things, then that's fine. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we would want to look at the list. I think that was one of our discussions originally, of finishing the urban forest management plan and then maybe going back and looking at the tree list, and also making it parks and open space trees instead of strictly street trees, have it so that when something comes in the park, you would be able to see ones that were good. And besides, this was before the drought.
That's correct.
And it occurred to me, because I was looking at the various trees and the response.
We're still in a drought.
Yeah. Well, and we probably will never be out.
We'll always be in a drought.
Yeah. I mean, we're a desert climate.
I'm sorry. Can I make one comment on that? Just from an arborist standpoint, the tree list is way too narrow. Now, you may choose to look at it, you may not. That's not my place. But diversity in plant material is a really important thing. So there are parts of the country, American elm, for example, was wiped off the face of, there's a lot of cities in America. And right now, today as we speak, there are, if the tree list is too narrow, let's say we go all elm or all alder or all oak, whatever the case may be, the chances for big problems goes way, way up, right? Because all it takes is Dutch elm disease to wipe out all the elms. All it takes is emerald ash borer to wipe out. So there's a lot of things that like that go on. And that's one of the arguments for diversity. And the other thing is, like I was mentioning, there are a lot of varieties of trees that, you know, you may or may not be aware of. I don't know. But if you have a broader selection to pick from, it makes for a much more interesting environment and also a safer one in terms of the general health of that, of the urban forest. So that's just one little extra comment.
All right. Well, just to add to what Commissioner Massey said, I mean, maybe it's something to consider down the road so that if this situation comes up again, we don't necessarily have to hear it and they can just pick it off the list.
Exactly. Is anybody ready to make a decision or comment on what you might like to do?
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Sorry, Commissioner Altstadt, I have a lot of questions, but I'll try to stop after this one. So given, I think I read that a root barrier is recommended for these trees? Does that prevent the roots from going down and finding good groundwater, or?
They're using a lot of root barriers, and I think a lot of cities are using root barriers. I'm not, I think on small trees like that, it's not as important. It's not to say that a small tree could not lift concrete, because it certainly could. But there's also problems with root barriers, because they create drainage problems. If you can also, in the specs that I've read, they don't fit the science, right? So there's been a lot of studies on root barriers and their effectiveness. And if you don't get in the range of 24 inches, the tree root goes like this, hits it, goes down, goes like this, up, and then back out, surprisingly. So I was just watching them do the bike path with 12 inch root barriers, and that's not gonna work, you know. I mean, there's plenty of science to show that. So I'm not real big on root barriers, although, you know, cities and municipalities spec them out all the time. The other thing is this business, the tippy part of it, right? Because not so much with the little trees, but if you have a big tree and it's in this box to begin with, the way buttress roots go out ideally is they move out radially over a large area. And the best example I could give you of that would be the Moreton Bay fig. So I'm sure I don't know if you've ever walked up close and personal to it. Okay, so you have? Excellent. Right. If you look on the grass side, right, those buttress roots are 4 feet high and extend 30 to 40 feet out, right? Because the tree is 150 feet wide on the Montecito Street. What street is that? Anyway, on the street side, they just dive straight down, right? Because they've always been in hardscape. So when we look at that tree, it's really unbalanced. The street side, they go straight down like this. The other side, they go way out like this. You also notice it's dying on the street side. So anyway, I'm not a real fan of those, but they do get specced out all the time.
Madam Chairman, if I may make a comment, along with the approved street tree list is an approved planting guide.
Yep.
And you would have to approve not using root barriers.
That's right.
That's my own opinion, though. You know, if the root barrier guys would tell you, they're fantastic.
They work. A number of arborists, experienced people, work this out over a number of years. So, mm-hmm. you know, unless we decide to review that, and I hope not soon, since I feel like I've spent half my life doing it, we will stick with what the policies are now.
Can we do a combination of trees?
Yeah, our recommendation is that we have a selection, so yeah. For availability, as Mr. Romeroka said.
So, for example, maybe a couple of Australian willows filling in with the magnolias.
Comment on that?
No.
Just from a...
No.
No? Okay.
Let me finish.
Your combination.
Is staff suggesting that we just stick with the magnolias?
The direction from council was to stick with magnolias.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You told me I couldn't speak, but I'm going to speak anyway on that. The idea of uniformity, I think, is important block per block or road per road, because it's not an arboretum. So you could pick a street, and there are streets in town where there's a pirate trees all over it. So you'll see a queen palm next to an Australian willow, next to a liquid amber. And I think it really takes away from the aesthetic quality of the overall picture, right? As you drive down the road, but from a practical standpoint, would make any difference.
All right. I think at this point we'll discuss it. Does anybody have any thoughts of what they would like to see? Evidently, they would like...
Madam Chair, can I make another comment?
Sure.
One of the policies we have in existence right now with residents who want a new tree planted, they get to pick off the approved list, regardless of what the block has as far as trees. So one neighbor could have a different tree from the next neighbor. That we don't have any assigned trees per any blocks, if that helps.
But in this case, because people wanted magnolias, we're sticking with magnolias.
I think what Mr. Morgenstern is saying is when someone just says, hey, we'd like a street tree in front of our house.
Right.
That we don't limit the choice then which is different from your embarking upon a project that will plant trees down, you know, line a street or down a road.
And I think the idea was that the city council thought that they wanted to make it a magnolia street, because it is magnolia street in this case. And not generally, you know, do you have an exact tree to match, or, you know, be nice.
But. Yes, and Chair Massey, the property owner was really passionate about having that, and council does, you know, to the extent that they can, try to make people feel better about a project when they're that passionate about the type of tree they'd like to see, or anything that they would like to see if it's reasonable and doable.
Right. If I can ask, how big are the trees that would be planted? And what, I mean, how big they're around? Are they little 24 tiny?
24 foot box, it says.
24 inch.
24-inch, I said, feet. Yeah, that would be a big
but
tree.
But is it just like a sap little? You said twig. I mean, is it? And if they grow a foot a year, are any of it's going to be around by the time they're blooming? Or how long until they bloom? Yeah. What age?
No, it's
not true.
The deal with the trees is it's a slow process, right? So if it's planted, you know, maybe it's 10 years before you're looking at a tree, what you think, okay, we have a lot of it. We could disagree on all kinds of stuff. But trees are a slow process, right? I deal with this every single day where people are planting a tree and goes, well, when are we putting our swing on this? And, you know, it takes time. Unless we plant something that gets really, really big. In general, trees that grow really big, so ash trees, elm trees, willow trees, mulberries, fast. The trees that get really big grow really fast. The trees that don't get very big grow really slow.
I think at this point it's up to the commissioners to discuss this. I will say that the ones where I live have maybe as much as 5 years, but they have bloomed. This is the second year they're blooming.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it's okay, not...
So not flowering, talking size.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Any more? Anybody have any ideas what you would like to pick?
So are we being asked to pick the trees or just
suggest to the council 2 or 3? Yeah.
Actually, council chair Massey, if I could, what we got council to agree on was that whichever of these magnolias that we're presenting to you, that they're accepting that those will be the trees. And that we will move forward.
So that'll along with the willow tree, the Australian willow, or no?
No, there will be no Australian
okay,
willow.
Just
those
the
will be
dwarf
we will be
magnolias.
Substituting these magnolias.
Well, I like the little gem. That's
I do that's because possible. That's what I've seen, and I really like them, and I know how well they go. That's, you know, it's growing here. They're growing. If anybody wants to know, it's Winchester Commons development, you know, Kyrie Allen Cathedral Oaks. So, gives you a more specific. We do have a little damper weather from the fog sometimes. Not enough. I don't think it hasn't affected anything else.
So just to be clear, it says here that the project is currently out to bid under the current council approved plans and specifications, which include the Australian willow.
Yeah. So if I might very quickly, it actually isn't out to bid right now because there was a little snafu in getting the notice out. But the idea was we were trying to get it out to bid and not wait for this meeting. And then we were going to do a change order to delete the Australian willow and replace it with that. So that was the understanding with council that we could do it by a change order and they were fine with it. So now I think we can actually get in and make the change and it will go out bid with whatever tree that you're selecting.
Well, it sounds to me that we can select all 4 trees and you can go out to bid with all 4 trees and whatever is available. And that sounds like that might be better in terms of getting more
varietals or
maybe healthy, good-looking trees, you know, if some of them are looking kind of raggy.
Yeah, and I personally don't really see the difference between these trees, especially if it sounds like they can be shaped to be the same shape. So I would recommend having all four be on the bid.
If that's a motion, I'll second it.
That is a motion. I motion to have all four.
Any discussion of the motion? All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Nope. We got it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
How hard is it to get those trees? I mean, can you just...
Can I address that? There's,
okay, so I mean, only three. I mean, how hard could it be to get?
So the four on the list are the ones that I did call around to some of the local commercial nurseries, and a couple months ago there was two of them were available. There's potential maybe to get some of the others from out of the area. So depending on the contractor's willingness to, you know, shop around and get the best price, and really seek out some. But right now I think Little Gem and Saint Marino were the two that were available. In the local nurseries at the time, and that may or may not be the case still.
And so would all five be the same variety, or would they just get what five trees or whatever they had from the list?
Yep.
I would expect they'd all be the same tree, assuming we can get five healthy, good-looking trees.
Okay. That are tiny.
All right, fine. We move on to... future agenda items. Does anyone have a future agenda item? One of the things I would like to do is consider looking at the next meeting potentially of adding to our street tree list park and open space trees, just designating it, that current street tree list, as trees that you could automatically do in parks and open space also. Does anybody else want to do that? Or?
Yes, I'd like that.
Madam Chair, if I may, we have no restrictions on trees right now.
In the parks.
In the parks or open spaces. So anything that you would do would put restrictions on trees.
Are there guidelines, though?
No, not at this point.
Yeah,
just planting guidelines, but not
who chooses? Tree. Does it go to city council or parks?
No.
I mean, in a park, if you want to plant a tree?
Basically, it's staff's decision at this point. Oh, but
okay. Through the arborist. We consult with the arborist. And for example, when you look at the redwood grove, the redwoods are dying, and so there was we had suggested to it, and we informed council what we're doing, but there's a tree, a type of cedar that looks very much like the redwoods, and so when they're dying, we're replacing them with those because they'll actually live, you know, in that environment. So usually with the park, you're trying to get something that looks like the tree surrounding it, so it's still, there's some bit of a natural theme, a natural look to it. And of course in the open space, you have, a lot of times you have eshes and you have things where you're planting right. a native plant where you you wouldn't go and suddenly pick something different because you want it to be natural.
Yeah, so that's what I was asking about, that I can, since I'm new, I can have these conversations offline.
I agree with Commissioner Massey. I'd like to see this on the agenda for the next meeting.
We could discuss, it is a part of why I took out that section, thank you, from the general plan, you know, urban forest management plan. I must be getting punchy at this point. And it recommended that we develop a list of trees that would include parks and open space and put that as a category under our Appendix A for that there are some objectives of having more control potentially over what is planted in park and recreation and open space areas. but, you know, thank you. Does any, you know, well, I think we should discuss it at least.
Okay.
Do we have anybody else who has ideas that they would like to discuss in the future?
I'm sure I'll have a lot of ideas. I'm not prepared to list any of them at the moment.
I move we adjourn.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.